To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The word of God I would lay on your hearts this morning comes from the third chapter of the book of Colossians, verses 1 through 11, as follows. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. But here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. So far the Holy Word. Dear friends in Christ, fellow redeemed, life-changing events, we've all had them in our lives, from the youngest to the old. I remember the birth of my son Joe, who was preached for us last week. His grandpa, my father-in-law, held him in his arms there and said to me, "Now your life will be changed forever." Wow, was he right. Children in your life. Life-changing events. I'm sure every one of you has those life-changing events in your lives. And they're not all pleasant things either. Sometimes there's a terrible accident that makes it, there's a life-changing event or changes things, or a terrible disease gets contracted, or a financial woe hits. You know, there's life-changing events. But the God of every good and perfect gift loves us, and for the most part, all of us can say that life has been a real blessing. We can say that everything really is a blessing. In fact, that's why the Apostle Paul said, "Rejoice in all things." Again, I say rejoice. Even the tough things to get through, God allows to happen for our blessing, so that everything works together for our spiritual welfare and our spiritual good. We have those truths from Scripture. But back to life-changing events. All of us have had a life-changing event in that we have come to faith. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. But God, through his powerful word, sometimes mixed with water, perhaps at our baptism, created a life-changing event, literally giving us life. Now we are God's dear children by faith. We believe in the true gospel message that God so loved the world, he gave his son to come and put up and offer his perfect life on the cross as our substitute and pay the price, so that through his blood shed on the cross, every one of our sins, indeed every one of the world's sins ever committed, all paid for in full. As God's dear children, that is a life-changing thing. And spiritually speaking, all of us are alive in Jesus Christ right now. Our lives, even though sometimes, to outwardly speaking, the people, you probably have friends and neighbors who think that because you go to church every Sunday morning, you're wasting your time. Outwardly, people can't see the genuine life that Jesus brought to us and how abundant it is. It's not just us being alive here on earth, but it's the truth that you have eternal life. It's yours right now. We just sang in that hymn, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who started, the one who he'll end our faith just as he started it by his powerful hand. So this morning's theme is new life is ours in Christ. We'll see how he is the source of our life, how he is the focus of our life, and how his power provides our new life. Paul says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Those are the first words, and actually from the second chapter of Colossians, there's a passage there that explains what he means here, and it has to do with being baptized. That since we were baptized, our sins were buried with Christ when he died, but being baptized, we have been raised with Christ. So just as Christ rose from the dead, you are given new life. New life is ours in Christ. And because of that truth, what God has done for us so selflessly and so graciously and out of steadfast love has done such great things for us. You know, all I have to do is mention the Apostles' Creed, which you already know by heart probably, and the fact that, like I said before, the fact that we could say, I believe, that's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And then you read on and we confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. It's everything God's done for us. It's the gospel. The fact that we can have that in our lives and look to Christ as the power source of our daily living moves us to want to do what the apostle here now encourages us. Because you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Remember Ascension Sunday? And the main point of Ascension Sunday, there's a couple things. One is, Jesus isn't suffering anymore for any sin. He's at the right hand of all power and authority. And what's he doing? He's using that to keep you in the paths of righteousness. He's using his authority as the Savior God, your Savior God, to speak for you in your behalf as your lawyer in front of God. He's your mediator, your intercessor, the one who speaks for you when you sin and God says, I demand payment for sin, and Jesus speaks and says, I paid that in full. And God says, I accept that. And we know God accepted because he raised him from the dead and seated him at the place of all power and authority, far above all principalities and authorities, and he's right there helping us right now. So Paul says, set your hearts on things above. And then in verse 2, he emphasizes it again by saying, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Reminds me of the first great commandment, because it goes from hearts to minds. And the first commandment, Jesus summed it up by saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. We can do all of these things because of our new life in Christ. The power source is Jesus. He's our source. And he's also the focus of our life. Put to death, therefore, it says in verse 5, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Put to death. Are you used to putting things to death in your life? Well, if you're not a hunter, maybe you've never experienced putting an animal down before. Put to death, this says, not an animal, but something in your own heart. Something that happens in your life every day. Their attitudes, their activities produced by our own sinful natures in here. Jesus said, out of the heart proceed murder, envies, adulteries. Everyone's got them. But now with your power source of Jesus as your life and the new life that you have in Christ, you can put to death those things. You can make decisions every day to stop with all of those, with the list here that's listed. I can turn away from sexual immorality, from impurities, from lusts, evil desires, greed, and all these things. They're idolatry, aren't they? Because in our hearts, whenever we let those things have free reign, that we're placing them in God's place. But because of our new life in Christ, because of the fact that you've been made a new creation, use the source of your life, Jesus Christ. Focus on him and the gospel message he came to bring. He didn't come down here to condemn you and to tell you that, see, every day you can't do this. You can't fulfill what I demand. We know why he came. To pay that price that we could never pay. To fulfill what we could never fulfill. The righteousness that God requires in every life. And he has accounted it to us now, out of love for each of us. Let's focus on that new life. That's the power that will enable us to get up every morning and to fight these things, to live that sanctified Christian life. Because all of you sin daily, and indeed, as the Bible says, deserve nothing but punishment. We just confessed it at the beginning of our liturgy this morning. Sin in thought, word, and deed. We do those things. But there is forgiveness with the Lord. With the Lord, there is mercy. Let's focus on that mercy that he gives us, because it's through Christ. But then let's put to death, powered by the gospel, let's make right choices in our life. And I know you haven't made right choices last week, and that's why you came here to ask forgiveness from God. That's why he's reassured you in the gospel message you are forgiven, so that you can go out again and do battle with the sinful world, with your own sinful heart, and with all the temptations of any wicked foe that comes up against you, knowing that Christ has already won the battle, and he continues to provide for you power, because he's the source and the focus of our new life. Verse 9 says, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and in the image of its creator. Having Christ in our lives allows us to identify the old self. In fact, the old self has been crucified with Christ on the cross. And now God sees us as just as if we never sinned. So we put off the old self. We've put on the new self, which is the indwelling of Jesus in our hearts, the Holy Spirit, making his temple in each one of you. That's the new self. That's the new creation. The old has passed away. The new is there. How we yearn for that day when we will finally be free of the sinful nature that we all have, and the results of sin in our lives, disease and old age and things going wrong and the world not going right, and how we yearn for that day. But we know it will happen. God gives us his promise. These things are hidden in Christ. That is, in connection with Christ, people can't see them, but we can. The eyes of our faith focuses on our Savior, knows he's our power source, and dips into that power that he provides to keep us in genuine life. He does it. He's the one renewing in us our new self. You just got regenerated today, hearing his word. And as you go through your week and go through the scripture passages that you know and love and perhaps have memorized or on your heart, the teachings that your Savior has brought to you, that powerful word will continue to do great things in your life and help you to walk worthy of the calling you've received. So don't give up. Turn away from those things that are listed here. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. You know, I used to think that, well, at least I don't swear outright anymore. Maybe I used to when I was younger once in a while. At least I don't take God's name in vain like that guy does. Well, this says, it's not just taking God's name in vain. Put all filthy language out of your mouth. And then you see how the law condemns. Which one of us has done that this past week? Put all filthy language. Well, again, realize who renews us and strengthens us. It's our powerful God. We have new life in Christ. It's ours. And Paul says, here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. Paul's talking about the universal justification that belongs to everyone because of what Christ has done. What's a Scythian? Well, you had to be in the times back then. He lists Scythian after barbarian. He's talking to the congregation, talking about different kinds of people. And a barbarian was bad enough. But a Scythian was a barbarian's barbarian. They were really barbaric. So what God is saying is, through the Apostle Paul, is that there is no difference. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace. So you see, your new life in Christ, it's powered by Christ, so that you can follow his example pure, as we sang in that hymn, so you can get up every day and continue to live out of love for God, because he has done such great things for you. Amen.